Welcome back, folks, to this edition of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. What's going on geopolitically? What's going on with Syria? What's going on with North Korea? What's going on with Russia? What's going on with China? Well, these are the answers that we're going to be, or these are the questions that we're going to be answering or have answered for us with our guests. Folks, Minuteman rocket stove, you need one, you need one, you need one. End of story, period. That's it. Go to MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. It's a biomass burning stove. It's a rocket stove. It's the Cadillac of rocket stoves. I'm going to tell you right now, you will not find any better rocket stove. We've tested many. This is our rocket stove, our official rocket stove, stamp of approval. And they're made in America. They're serving with our troops. And you cannot get anything. If I have to explain why you need one, then, man, I think Green Acres might be on syndication. Go watch that. MinutemanRocketStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. And while you're there, check out the fire starters and the different array of utensils, including pots and such.
Yeah, so they got the new, and folks who are watching on YouTube, you can see on the left-hand side the new frying pans and the new grill trays, which are the square skillet trays. And as well as they have fire starters and battery packs there. So go to MinutemanStove.com. Now, we have with us in this segment, in this hour, U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Sarja Sangari, who is the CEO of Near East Center for Strategic Engagement and the founder of the United Assyrian Appeal. He has 6 years of combat deployment in the Middle East with 22 Special Forces missions, 144 combat patrols, as well as a number of other numerous accolades. And he was just accorded the diplomatic status in Kuwait as Director of Host Nations Affairs. He's a previous guest, and he is joined by Emmanuel, and I'm going to screw this name up, Yokonawa.
No. Kishaba.
Oh, okay. There's a word after his last name that should.
That's bad copy. You're looking at some bad copy there. What do you think?
That's good.
There you go. When's the last time you really laughed? You know.
We're going to bring on Mr. Sangari first. Mr. Sangari, welcome back to the show. Great to have you back.
From Yokonawa.
It's good to be back, and I'm glad to be on the site today with one of the Japanese diplomats, Mr. Yokonawa. All in all, we're doing good, guys. It's been a pleasure. I know we were trying to be in studio. The timeline just didn't allow us, but our plan is to visit with you guys after our DC trip this week, to see you guys either, on a Thursday evening or possibly Friday morning. So.
Interesting. Yeah. I gotta tell you, Colonel, we just got back from Chicago and you're in Chicago. Well, I don't know where you are, but in that area, I suppose. And, the country, this is a big country, by the way. If you've ever driven, I mean, it's a big country. So, we'll see about hooking up. But, Joe, we were talking, Colonel, before the show, we were talking about wanting to get your take on a couple of geopolitical issues very quickly.
Yeah, you said you had a question about North Korea.
Or an item about that.
Yeah, let's start there.
Yeah, we could start in North Korea. I mean, everything is related. One thing I always said, to my soldiers when I was in the army, I said, you can't just look at a region that we're responsible for and say that these are battle spaces, areas of interest. And in a geopolitical sphere, those areas of interest are the entire globe. It is what we literally call the human domain and the entire planet. So nuances of this closed network community are very important. You have to simplify what's happening in North Korea. And if I was to simplify it, I would say, you know, as I would tell my soldiers in any assessment, a weapon is either used for offensive or defensive purposes, period. Now, the question we have to ask, is North Korea trying to develop an offensive capability or a defensive capability? If it is an offensive capability, who is it going to use it against? the most recent missile test that they did is not going to reach U.S. territories unless it's certain basings that U.S. has in the region. So it's really, if it's used in an offensive capability again, it would be used to threaten our friends or allies in the region, Japan, Korea, and any other allies we have, to include Australia. Now, with that said, if it is being used for defensive purposes, who is North Korea afraid of? And who are the friends that North Korea has? Because remember, North Korea can't hit us directly in the U.S. mainland. They're going to threaten our friends. Reality is that North Korea, as much as it's an isolated regime, has friends itself. And those friends in this case would be China, would be Russia, anyone who is strategically against the American interests on the global scale. That being the case, just like North Korea would be putting pressure on our allies, we have to put pressure on North Korean allies. And in this specific case, just like President Trump has done to POTUS, by making sure that China is aware that this is an issue that China needs to be deeply engaged in. They cannot any longer, as we have said, we have no strategic patience for what North Korea is doing. Now, one thing we've seen under the current administration, which is a change from the previous administration, is that the current administration pressures and negotiates. Pressures and negotiates. We strike areas in Syria, and the airfield that we hit should be understood that North Korea was also tied specifically to that Syrian airfield. They were bringing in weapons that were going to Hezbollah forces in the Syria region, which are threatening our allies, in this case our strategic debt partner, which is Israel. So hitting a specific target in Syria sends a message all the way across to Asia. And in this case, when you pressure him, now you can bring him to the negotiation tables. As of 2 days ago, North Korean officials, Mr. Cho Sun, he stated that North Korea is willing to negotiate on certain terms. Now, it doesn't matter what those terms are. It doesn't matter that they want to come to the position or the table to negotiate from position of power, which is the reason they could be conducting these missile tests. The reality is that the pressure worked. We got them to say that we're willing to sit down and negotiate. Now, once you pressure somebody and want to bring them to the table, the next step would be to be able to put additional pressures on them by putting pressure on their friends. In this case, Russia has already condemned what happened. Putin himself did so with the newest missile test. At the same time, pressure on China to make sure that there's economic pressures on North Korea. The other thing we need to do is we need to take this work that has to be done at an international community level and divide it amongst our partners. This is something that we could put in the lap of the UN. In this case, when it comes to the specifics of the Security Council, and say, okay, Security Council, start addressing it. Put additional pressures on Korea. In this case, North Korea. The problem we run into, and I think this is where sometimes the press, our own press, is detrimental to us. Every time a missile takes place and we make it bigger than it is, what we're doing is we're basically allowing a regime like North Korea to say, okay, that means our pressure is working. So now I could go to the table from a position of strength. Imagine if the North Korean story became a non-story. We didn't even bother to cover it. We didn't make it as big of a deal as it is. Now North Korea realized that they're under pressure. They're willing to come to the table, but their missile tests are not working to where they would be in a position of advantage at the table. Now you can start tracing down who are the characters behind that pressure point. And if North Korea realizes that China's not going to support it, Russia's not going to support it, you may see a earlier, much more adequate requirement for the U.S. side, which could help us in the strategic long run in Asia, and that would be a win against North Korea diplomatically. Okay. I don't know. I hope that helps.
Yeah, it does.
Definitely.
Just to kind of be clear about this, in your view, based on your experience, your information, your analysis, you're not seeing North Korea as the threat that the press, the media, the perception that it is right now. Is that kind of what I'm getting?
Well, I mean, the most recent missile test that they did can only reach some of our basings close to Australia.
Okay.
So, frankly, if you're not hitting my mainland, Washington's under a threat. For me, I have to use that as leverage in negotiations.
Okay.
And I think that's one thing that maybe the press is missing. It's like a 2-year-old crying, and if the more attention you give them, the more they think they have a position of leverage. The less attention you give them, they realize that's not working. They have to suddenly start negotiating with the parent.
A very apt analogy, to be sure. With us is U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel, retired, of course, Sergeant Sangari. He's the CEO of the Near East Center for Strategic Development and the founder of United Syrian Appeal. Also with us is Emmanuel Kashaba. He's the Commander-in-Chief of the Syrian Army and was born in Kirkuk. In case you haven't heard him before, he represented the Assyrian people for the Nineveh province and is in the founding conference of the new Iraqi parliament back in 2003. And very active in geopolitical affairs, including the United Assyrian Appeal.org, which is an organization that helps families of Assyrian Christian soldiers. Now, before we bring the commander on, a couple of things we want to talk about is the fact that the President, Donald Trump, has made trips to Saudi Arabia, Israel, Italy, to visit all the major religions, or will be making in his first foreign trip, and also the new various anti-Christian declarations in Iraq. Go ahead. I don't even know where to start on this.
Let's start with the trip, the POTUS, yeah. One of his first foreign trips. I'll throw it to you, Mr. Sangari, and then we'll go to Emmanuel. What do you see coming out of this trip? Is this just getting a lay of the land, the diplomatic stuff, or do you expect some deals and some things to happen on these trips?
Well, I think Emmanuel can talk in details about it, knowing what the effects are on the Christians. From a Christian perspective, I would tell you, especially certain Christians, and let's take the example of what I mentioned with North Korea, how we have put pressure on China and Russia. We could use the diplomatic pressure through the UN to force North Korea to toe the line or come to the negotiation tables. And the same thing, I think, needs to happen. For the Assyrians, nothing has changed. And I think Emmanuel will tell you that. We've had two different administrations currently. We've had multiple meetings here that we've been asked to come back to. And it's a positive in that aspect, but until the United States, Western nations, Israel, and all other nations that have an interest in making sure that the root of Christianity is preserved in the Middle East, puts pressure on governments of Baghdad, on the Kurdish regional government, on Turkey, on Syria, and any other government where the Assyrians are currently suffering. Then nothing will change. Mosul's about to be liberated, if you want to call it that, when it comes to ISIS operations. And as soon as Mosul is liberated, we can say that ISIS is defeated. But Emmanuel will tell you, just recently, one of the religious clerics in Iraq, one of the top religious clerics in Iraq, turned around and said the same thing that ISIS says, which is that the Christians are the people of the book and they should be killed. So what's changed there? You kill a guy who was wearing an ISIS uniform, the ideology hasn't gone away. You want to help me as an Assyrian Christian? Go and put pressure on the Baghdad government and say, this will stop. Now, Ayatollah Sistani, which is the Grand Ayatollah in Iraq, came out and condemned it. He didn't say it's not true what the cleric had said, because it is part of what is written in the Quran, and those are some of the dictates that ISIS has used in order to attack Christian Assyrians. In the most recent video that just came out, again, they're attacking Christian Assyrian reliefs. Christian Assyrians, as of today, as we had talked last time, 100% of our towns have been looted, 60% destroyed, inside and out, structurally. 75% burnout, I should say, inside and out. So nothing's changed for us, until, just like you're putting pressure on a North Korea, U.S. starts putting pressure on these various different leaders of Islam. One of the articles we had written in the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement a while back ago was, who speaks on behalf of Islam, or who should speak on behalf of Islam? And in this case, if Saudi Arabia, which is the keeper of the two largest Islamic cities, cannot make a statement that says that what is being done to the Christian Assyrians of the Middle East is an absolute genocide and it would not be tolerated, then it's kind of useless for us, whoever is the president. So my recommendation is, just like we have seen under the current president, you pressure, you negotiate, pressure, negotiate. When you're meeting with Saudis, pressure them and then negotiate with them. Go to Jerusalem, whoever you're meeting with, pressure and then negotiate. When you're going, sitting down with the Vatican, pressure and then negotiate. And if you do it in that fashion, then I think you'll see a positive for the Christian Assyrians. Until then, again, like I said, if you go back, there's a lot of positive feeling in the State Department and the National Security Council, which recently Emmanuel and I and our team sat down and talked with. But at the end, it's just words. Unless you're willing as a world community collectively to pressure the various different leaders who say we are the leaders of Islam in order to make sure that the dialogue that is coming out of their mosques, words that are coming out of their mouths, and what is being put on paper constitutionally does not eradicate the Christian Assyrians. So a rose by any other color is still a rose. You could call it ISIS, or you could call it the current Iraqi leadership, in this case of this imam who is part of the governmental system. What's the difference? What did you achieve?
Okay. Emmanuel, I'm going to ask you this, and I'm not sure if you've seen this yet, but Mr. Sangari just mentioned it. The latest between the what's happening in Iraq and in Mosul, from what I understand, there were some updates today, and a number of ISIS fighters were killed as the Iraqi troops launch an assault. How much more do we, how close are they to liberating Mosul?
At first, thank you for having me, Mr. Hagman, and I return again to your program. It is a pleasure to me to meet you, your audience, and really that I will begin from the what you ask about the trip of President Trump to the Middle East, to Italy first and the Middle East second. What I think that Mr. Trump, he will visit Vatican and meet the Pope to see what is his vision for the Christianity in the Middle East, and how they can both to let the Christianity live in the Middle East. And for the travel to Saudi Arabia to meet with the other leaders of the Islamic states and Islamic countries, that means he will do the same thing, that bring the allies and for more discussion about two more files that among them is Iran, among them is the terrorism, the fanatic Islam, everything, because what Sergis, Lieutenant Colonel Sergis Sangari mentioned, that even today, when you see a top cleric of the Shia mentioned that the rules of the Christianity in Islam is to pay or to kill or to convert to Islam. So here we didn't see the same the change between Sunnah and Shia. So this is the reality. And the reality, we can defeat Daesh on the ground, but can we defeat them in the mentality? That was my question from the beginning until now. We are facing, we have too many examples. One family returned to Mosul, returned to their home in Mosul City. They have a nightmare when their neighbors attack them and tell them that they are kuffar, they are against Allah, so we don't see that the Christianity will stay in future in Mosul. Everybody will sell that what we have there and go out from Mosul City. We need that the support to stay there at that area. About the Iraqi fighting against Daesh, what I think is the Iraqi forces can finish that fight in as soon as possible, but they want to do it until the same day, maybe same day or before their first month, Ramadan, will begin. They will finish it. So, but the number is a huge number, more than both in East and West Coast. Maybe more than 8,000 fighters being killed. This is the reality, that the Iraqi forces have too many casualties too. Yes.
Okay. We got about 2.5 minutes before the break. Mr. Sangari, I'm going to ask you this. There was I don't have the report in front of me, but I believe the United States began funding, do you remember, Dad? Was it the Kurds? I don't want to misspeak either. Yeah, I don't want to misspeak. But the United States talked about funding a group there that was separate from the Syrian rebels, and apparently was something that, I'll find it here. Let's go back to the...
I think you're talking about the supplies for the Kurdish in order to conduct operations in Iraq, for the clearing of Iraq, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, but it was a very narrow support.
Well, I mean, that's what's going to happen. Look, reality is that support can be given to the Kurds, and the Kurds will take it. But the Turks have said that the Kurds in Syria are all members of the PKK. They're a terrorist group, and we will attack them. So Kurds might get weapons, but don't be surprised if the Turks bomb them in the process. That's an issue that has to be discussed between U.S. and Turkey. Turkey has already attacked Kurdish positions, to include killing Peshmerga, both in Syria and Iraq, because they want to ensure that the Kurdish footprint, in this case they call them terrorists, does not expand into the region and into their country. So they will fight those individuals.
So you believe this is just a very temporary thing? Do you agree with Trump's plan to directly arm the Kurds or not?
It's up to President Trump. Right now, you're limited in what you have in Syria, thanks to the previous administration. As I told you last program, when Russia is running around with hunter-killer teams, you have to have deep roots into those communities, and that means you have specific key points that are under your protection, and you're stronger at the negotiation table. So if that's all you have, then maybe that's all they're going to use, but I don't think that's going to work well for the United States in the long run, because those Kurds and whoever is supporting him that goes into Al-Raqqa will eventually be killed by the Turks anyway, and probably the Russians.
Interesting. and folks, I don't think we can get any better analysis of the Syrian situation, Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, than our two guests, of course, Colonel Sargas Sangari, and also Commander Emmanuel Keshaba.
Keshaba.
Yes. Yokonama.
Gotta apologize again for
that's on that's on the Japanese menu.
We get sheets and a sheet printed out, and that worry. Name was added to the end of your name for some reason. And
I see where that originated. But no worries.
We're going up against the break right now. Again,
don't make fun of us, Colonel. you might be able to fight and be armed, but I'm. Okay, I'm sorry.
I've been called Sanjuri. I've been called every other name possible. So at least I've been compared to a drink.
U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Sargas Sangari is with us, and Emmanuel Keshaba is our guest. He's the Commander in Chief of the Assyrian Army, and we're gonna be back when we come. We're gonna be right back when we come back. We're gonna talk about the Assyrian support under the new administration. We're gonna talk about the Al Raqqa clearing operations and the Christian militaries in Syria.
Program director, I gotta say this. Program director and producer John is in the house. In the house. That's right.
All right.
Wait. No, he's leaving.
When we come back.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you could possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. I mean, it is... It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Eric's...
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and the Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Chang Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We're offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Army's kit. It contains 12 homeopathic remedies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Army's kit at www.changeclosewoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
We'll be right back.
us. Thank you so much for your belief and trust in us. Just want to just thank you. Thank you. Two men of great integrity and two great men, I believe, great men, real, I hesitate to use this term, but freedom fighters, fighters for freedom, fighters for peace, Colonel Sargas Sangari and Commander Emmanuel Kashaba are on with us. I would urge all of you to support their endeavors. Go to our program description, click the link to the United Assyrian Appeal and support what they're doing. They're out there on the front lines, literally on the front lines, or coordinating the same. And it's these gentlemen who are making the difference. It's not the United States. It's not others. It's these people who are making the difference. And we bring you them with much joy. And, I'll tell you what, knowing what I know about these individuals, these fine men, get behind them or beside them. Either way, they're doing a great job. Before we get back to them, Pred Defense, P-R-E-D, preddefense.com. You know, many people, even those in uniform, have been using shotguns for decades. No one disputes the incredible firepower of the shotgun or the need for one, period. What is can be problematic is reloading. The fastest way to get the shell into an empty chamber, okay? People have been trained on how to reload from a side saddle, but that takes a lot of time, precious time. You usually end up taking your eyes off the target, and you know what happens from there. Well, Pred Defense has a solution. You need a way to rapidly get that fresh shell into the chamber using gross motor skills. Now you have a way to do that. I would encourage you to take a look at preddefense.com. That's P-R-E-D, preddefense.com. They have a solution, a patented solution, that I really think you'll appreciate. If you have any questions, you can contact the owner, Mr. Paul Clinton, and he'll do you well. Just let them know you heard it on the Hagman and Hagman Report. Joe, I'm going to kick it over to you for the continuation. This is great stuff here.
Again, we're with Lieutenant Colonel Sangari and Emmanuel Kashaba. And Emmanuel, I'm going to throw this question at you. The new anti-Christian declarations in Iraq, what's going on with this?
The new declaration that we want to, as a Syrian Christian, to see our future in that side of country. So we as political parties, we put our thoughts on the ground about the future of Nineveh Plain, and we have support of the church, Syriac church, Catholic and Orthodox, both sides. They support those thoughts and those demands from the government and from the international community. So the reality, Mr. Hagman, is that in this kind of circumstances and situation around you, around, let me say this, like a Syrian Christian or other minorities, non-Muslim minorities, it's very difficult to live or to gather with the other of the other sides of the Iraqi communities. I mean, the major of the Iraqi communities, and they are the Muslim, both sides of Islam, Sunni and Shia. Because the book is one book, and there's no different between the thoughts. Even they have the different between how to make the book became a reality. I mean, the way of the bring the, their book to the ground and to the reality. So it's now really it's very critical time for our community, for our Assyrian Christian people. Sorry. And if we don't have the support from the new administration to let us live there, it will be very difficult. And we, as the minorities, we will be like the Jewish community happened to them in Iraq before. In 1950s, so it's now the ball in the new administration field, and we bring our fears when we met our team, Sergius and I, with the rest of teams, with National Security Council. We put our fears on the table, and we talk about that. So we hope that the new administration will see the reality, and as we see from the statement and the speech of Vice President Mike Pence, that give us a little hope that the new administration is going forward to support our community to live in dignity. Yes.
Mr. Sangari, have we seen any changes with this new administration as far as with the Assyrians or any other group that is fighting ISIS? Have we seen any extra cooperation or even attempts at furthering the relationship?
The desire is there. The words that are being used, as Commander Khoshaba said, Vice President Pence recently said that really Christianity started from Jerusalem, Urdun, and Nineveh. And that's correct. That's where the root of Christianity started. The declaration at the National Security Council was the same day that the POTUS approved the new religious mandate that was place for our country here, as far as giving more of a voice to the Christian communities or the religious communities here in the United States. However, again, I go back to the reality on the ground. What is said at the diplomatic levels does not change anything for the reality of what the Syrians are looking at currently. Unless you have a plan, and you're willing to enforce that plan, and all we could do for the United States, when they ask us, we give them what we believe is a plan that will work for the U.S. and Assyrians, in order for them to be able to be enduring partners, not just to each other, but at the same time to the State of Israel that recently celebrated 69 years of hard-fought establishment and existence, where they bled on a daily basis for the right to exist. For the Assyrians who established Iraq, the Assyrian sacrifice established Iraq. For the Assyrians who fought against the Germans, defeated them in the Mosul oil fields in World War II, that did not allow Germany to be able to have a backdoor into Russia and defeat the Allies. For the Assyrians who fought even under the previous leadership, where we lost 50,000 Assyrians in combat against Iran and Iraq, and unfortunately majority of them were shot in the head by their own commands in battle. For the fact that we've suffered and died, and since the United States entrance into Iraq, our people were displaced. Why? Because the mentality that is either shared by the Saddam leadership that shoots a certain Christians who are fighting on behalf of the country in the back of the head to get rid of them, or by the Shia leadership that takes to the stage while Assyrians are serving under the Shia forces that are fighting in Iraq and Mosul, and says that these individuals should be killed, pay a jizya, or convert, while at the same time you have the Sunnis under ISIS that are destroying our heritage, destroying our cities, for us to have bled to keep a footprint for Christianity alive in the Middle East, while everybody else is not bleeding at the level we are, going to genocide we are, and while the Western nations arm the same individuals who are causing our orphans, killing our people. One of the biggest things that has happened to us when our women were taken off the out of their houses and villages, a lot of them were human trafficked directly through Saudi Arabia. Is President Trump going to go there and put pressure on Saudi and say, release these women, hunt down the individuals who are holding these women that are Christian, Assyrian women, and return them back to their home? That's not going to happen. I hope it does. Is the world community going to stand up and say, stop killing these Assyrians who have been dying for us? Stop arming their enemies, causing them to die because we keep on sinking money into lost causes, whether it be the Kurdish cause that we've been putting money into Sunni Muslim Kurdish coffers since the 60s. The Russians and the Americans have been doing. And you're not even going to give them a country. Why? Because you know what would happen if you gave them a country. They're no different than anyone who came before them. Whether it be Saddam Hussein, whose mentality is what they pushed through their tribalism or their corruption, or anyone else in the region. And now you're dealing with the Shia, who are intent on having a footprint. As Ayatollah Khomeini said, the road to Jerusalem starts from Karbala all the way into Jerusalem against your strategic debt partner. So make the simple call. We have bled on the battlefield. We deserve somebody to come in and relieve us in this fight. Give us a breather. We've been dying for you. And you've been benefiting, reaping the benefits for your existence based on what we have been doing in the region. Look, United States has a very simple choice under the current leadership. Repeat the same mistakes that the British made when they decided to replace the Assyrians in the region and support the Arab tribesmen, put them in charge of Iraq because they figured that they could strike a better deal with them for oil. Where is Britain now, 100 years later? They barely can put a division together to be able to do anything on a global scale as a global leader. They've lost the advantage in the seaway to a nation like the United States, and they barely can get anything done at a world stage where it would be influential enough in order for them to be able to expand their footprint like they had done in the past. Same thing, U.S., if you support the current actors in the region, as you have been doing, you will suffer the same fate that the British did. You don't want, it's not going to hurt us. Commander Emmanuel and I, we're not getting any benefits from any support that is supposed to be coming to the Assyrian Christians. The only support we get is from men and women who have donated to at least allow us to support or the Assyrian military families. At the long run, if you decide to help eradicate the Assyrian Christians and not give them a footprint in their own homeland, then it's going to cost you. It's not going to cost me. It's going to cost you as a nation, and it will be a black mark on you for the future, and you will probably suffer the consequences 100 years from now, where you have to deal with negotiating with the children of ISIS, which you did not eradicate, and you did not support the Assyrian Christians when you had the opportunity.
And Colonel, This is at the root of it. This is what we need to really discuss. It's the same here in the United States. It is a festering problem that will only get worse. If it's not addressed now, it's only going to get worse over time. And it's not necessarily the so-called moderates that we see now. Their offspring will become radicalized based on a number of things, but we're going to be having to address this problem, not us perhaps, but our children, if it's not nipped in the bud right now. And we all have this opportunity to help, via, Colonel Sangari's, organization. And I think we need to do that because if not us, who? And if not now, are you content to leave this to your children and other generations and imagine that mess? Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, moving forward here, and I'm gonna go to Emmanuel. The Al-Raqqa clearing operations and Christian militaries in Syria. Can you give us an update on those?
Kurdish, and you know the Syria Democratic Forces, which they are supported by the coalition force at the United States of America. They are trying to go forward to clear the capital of the Islamic State, Iraq. And what's going on now is the coalition force, American and United Kingdom, Britain forces, are cleaning to cut the routes between the area of Iraqi border, Abu Kamal, area from Al-Raqqa to so they cannot have the support became over the Iraqi borders when they start to clean the that area that city. And what we see in Al-Tabqa Dam, maybe that will happen in Al-Raqqa when Al-Raqqa battle when it will begin. Even they have the Syrian forces, democratic forces, that is the majority are Kurds, have negotiation with the Islamic State fighters for more than 1 week till they surround it. So maybe that will we will see it in the same thing or same phase when they know that Al-Raqqa will be surrounded from everywhere, so they cannot fight in the middle of the city and between the citizens. So now it's going forward. I say what we think now is we will return to the same question, because in Syria they have complicated situation than Iraq. Iraq is the only problem is Daesh now for the Iraqi government, what I mean. And in Syria, it is a very complicated situation because there are a Syrian regime and they are rebels supported. There are too many fanatic Muslims organizations like Saray al-Kharasan, like Al-Qaeda, like Daesh. So too many complicated situation, but I think at the end we will came to end this situation. But the more important thing for the coalition forces is how to retook Al-Raqqa, because the the meaning of this capital of Islamic State will it will liberated that be given a great meaning that the coalition force win the war against Daesh, who turned the world in the last three or four years. Yes.
Okay. And we have about 5 minutes left of this interview, so I want to make sure we get these last question in.
For both, I guess.
Yeah, we have a few more issues here, but let's just go with this. Mr. Sangari, from 2003 to today, how has the U.S. foreign... Well, we've talked about how the U.S. foreign policy has affected Assyrian Christians. We also talked about the, you know, arming the rebels. Let's say that ISIS was eliminated from Syria and Iraq. Do you believe that the rebels would step up to fill their shoes, or do you believe that once ISIS is subdued, there will be room for working together?
I think I'd rather have the commander answer this, but my little piece on it I would tell you is you don't have any enduring allies in the region. We have sat at the State Department, at the Pentagon, and we have said, you have no choice. You eventually will have to understand that you have to have an enduring partner. And the only enduring partner you have in the region right now that is like philosophy, like-minded, like desires, is the Assyrian Christians. And the Assyrian Christians have bled enough in the region, have died enough, and they're still dying today. And most of them are dying because the enemy can't get to you, so he comes and kills us. He cannot rape your women, so he rapes our women. Look, that's the only option you have. And if you don't want to work with that option, you want to go somewhere else, go right ahead. But you can never say, I never gave you the option. You can never say that the Assyrian Christians didn't stand by you and said, we're here to work together to eliminate this enemy, and we've traveled this road. And we are telling you, you are making the same mistake the Brits made 100 years ago, so it ain't gonna change. With that said, I'd rather have the commander discuss exactly what the implications are based on what has happened to us, and eventually U.S. will understand. They can conceive, contrive whatever they want. You got probably a short window of 3 to 6 months to figure it out. Otherwise, you'll bring other global superpowers into the region. You'll probably bring the Russians in. You'll probably bring the Chinese in a larger footprint that you have. And if the Chinese and the Russians start fighting each other for a larger footprint in the region, it isn't going to cost the globe. It's going to cost the globe a lot. I should say, and it's not going to be a good thing. We won't have a say into the next war that might take place. Emmanuel, go ahead, please.
I will talk in another vision. If we discuss why this situation in the Middle East, why we have those kind of problems in the Middle East. We can easily find that all of that began because we have Israel in the Middle East. So how you can bring the peace to Israel? Actually, the God told us, and our books, our religions told us how to bring the peace to Israel, and that is written in Old Testament. In Old Testament, in Isaiah, I think it's 21 to 40, 42, something like this. At the time will begin, there will be built highway from Assyria to Egypt. At that time, Israel will have the peace. So They God give you the situation how you can bring the peace to that area, to Middle East. We see that the moral commitment to the United States administration is how to help the Christianity to stand and face all the situation and all the dangers that they have at that area. Give them the help to stand in their country. And my last word may be to all the American people. I want to say thank you for you for support us, and I demand if you can pray for the Christianity to the people who are defend the Christianity and the Assyrian community to live in their area and their cities, and we pray for the all soldiers, all veterans that help us and actually give us the hope that the international community, we will see at the end that they will help the people who are in need, and appreciate that for you, both of you.
Commander, thank you. Commander, thank you. We're up against heartbreak, and Colonel, thank you as well. And
support
you,
them at the United Assyrian Appeal.org. Mr. Sangari,
we'll be Mayo, talking, by the way.
Thank you for coming on tonight. We're up against the break right now. We got to go. But it's been a blessing, and you guys take care. We'll talk with you later this week.
All right.
Will do. God bless. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both. True heroes.
We'll be right back.
Thank you. You gave us a voice.
We'll be right back with Josh Kaplan after this. Don't go anywhere.
About a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high net worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentations. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate
navigate a maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.